Timothy was written, especially the second epistle, but was written in connection with apostasy, the falling away from the faith in the last days. And we're living in those days. Even among the assemblies, there's a drift away from the things of the Lord. And Timothy is told, without taking up the time, in verse number 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, in connection with the Word of God and the things of God, he says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Doctrine, good, sound Bible teaching. Continue in them, in the doctrine of these things. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. That's not to be saved from hell and for eternity. It's to be saved from apostasy, from drifting away from the faith, and them that hear thee. Now with that in view, let's look in Matthew chapter 16. And I believe in that chapter we have four revelations that will keep us doctrinally straight in a day of false doctrine everywhere. The ecumenical movement, the charismatic movement, there's all sorts of movements, and most of them throw doctrine to the wind. And they just say, let's love one another, go by experience. In fact, the World Council of Churches, their theme is all one in Christ. Nice theme. The only thing is they have nothing to implement that. They just get all together as one great big happy family. Now, I'm not going to read this for the sake of time, and I'm not going to take too much of your break time either, although I could possibly sneak a little bit. And I get away with that because I'm a visitor here. You local brethren can't do that. I want you to look in Matthew chapter number 16, and where the Lord Jesus said in connection with his person in verse 15. I'm assuming you've already read this and quite familiar with it, but we're going to sketch through it a little bit. I want to show you four revelations here of things that are good, sound doctrine that we should hold on to in a night in which we're living, because the day of the Lord's coming is near at hand. Now, in verse number 15, the Lord Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Then Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the revelation of the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's the great revelation of the person of Christ. Now, all good, sound doctrines rest primarily on the person of Christ. And there are seven basic doctrines about the person of Christ. If you are deficient on one, you're deficient on them all. I think Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 puts it well when it says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Seven is the number of completion. And the seven pillars of the person of Christ are very simple, but they are being denied in a lot of places today. Number one, the deity of Christ. The pre-existence of Christ as the eternal Son of God. That's number one. That's being denied. Most of the cults do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Many believe he was an angel. Some believe he was an angel. Others deny it altogether. Number two, the virgin birth of Christ. Or probably more properly, the virgin conception of Christ. He was conceived without sin. Number three, the sinless humanity of Christ. The impeccability of Christ. The fact that he could not sin. The fact not only that he was without sin, but the fact that he could not sin. Number four, the sacrificial atonement of Christ, or more properly, the propitiation that he made through the shedding of his blood. You don't hear much about the blood of Christ, and even in evangelism today. And yet, there's a line of blood right through the Bible. Number four, number five, the resurrection of Christ, again from the dead, the bodily resurrection of Christ from the dead. He arose bodily from the dead. And you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our faith is in vain. We're still in our sins. Our preaching is in vain. We're false witnesses if Christ did not rise from the dead. Number six, the ascension of Christ at the right hand of the Father on high. He's there not only as the mediator between God and man, but he's there as the high priest of his people. I think his work as a mediator has to do with the sinner. When the sinner comes to God, he's the go-between between the sinner and God. But to the Christian, he's become the high priest in heaven above. And lastly, the second coming of Christ back to this earth. Not only in the rapture, but in the revelation, when he comes back to set up a kingdom on this earth according to the promises to David and Abraham. Those are the seven pillars of the doctrine of Christ. Now notice here it says, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God." Now every one of us, we are sons of God. I am a son of God, but I am not the son of God, neither are you. The son of God is something that definite article is exclusively about the person of Christ. He is the son of God. And if you look through the scriptures, everywhere, he's never said to be son of God. He is the son of God. And that has to do with his eternity. He pre-existed as the son of God. Like Melchizedek was made likened unto the Son of God, without beginning, without end, without father, without mother, and so on. So it's the revelation of the person of Christ. In 1st, 2nd John, when it says, "If any come to your house and bring not the doctrine of Christ," I believe that's the doctrine of the person of Christ that I mentioned. To deny his pre-existence as the Son of the living God. To deny his virgin birth. Or any one of those, his blood atonement, his bodily resurrection, to deny any of those things, is the whole structure, the whole house falls down, because those seven pillars, they are the doctrine of the person of Christ. Now that's a great revelation to hold on to in an evil day in which we live. If we're going to use the little strength that we have and hold fast to the things that we have, we're going to hold fast to the person. Those seven doctrines about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the second revelation, verse 21. It's the revelation of the cross. Not up to this point, in chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "From that time on, the Lord Jesus started preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" But now there's a time in the life and the ministry of the Lord when he turns away from Israel. And for the first time in verse 21, from that time forth, he began something he never mentioned before. He began to show them that he must go up to Jerusalem, fall into the hands of wicked and cruel men, and the high priests and elders, and be crucified on the cross. The revelation of the cross of Christ. The work of the cross of Christ. Five times over, the Lord Jesus mentions about his disciples about the cross of Christ. Now, the cross of Christ is well revealed in the Old Testament. But that's in the shadows. And we understand it well because we have the New Testament. But these people didn't have the New Testament at the time. And they didn't really understand. They didn't really understand that he would rise again from the dead, even after he died. They were still in unbelief when he did rise on the first day of the week. So the revelation of the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ has to do with the work of Christ. The purpose for him coming into the world. The work that he's done for us. When we move away from the cross work of Christ, we're getting away from God. We're getting away from God. When you get all tangled up and all of the problems in an assembly or the problems in the world or the different doctrines, it's good to be straight on those things, but we should never let them move us away from the cross of Christ. That's the place where the love of God was displayed. And you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say God loves us. He does, but it doesn't tell us that. It's always loved us. Because God wants us to always go back to the place where his love was fully expressed, without measure, at the place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died for us. So to move away from the cross work of Christ is to move away from the teachings of the blood of atonement. It's to move away from the resurrection as well. Because the cross was only the first step. And the final step, of course, was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered sin and death and rose again from the dead. So you've got the revelation here of the person of Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've got the revelation of the cross of Christ for the first time. Peter didn't understand this for sure. He said, "Far be it from thee, Lord." He rebuked the Lord. And the Lord turned in verse 23 and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He recognized the voice of Satan in one of his disciples. Peter just didn't understand. So this is a revelation to them of the cross of Christ. Oh, how we need to keep near the cross. And that's one thing about our morning meetings. That keeps us near the cross of Christ, isn't it? Just to come together and refresh our memories about the person that died there on the cross for our sins. It refreshes our memory. So you've got the revelation of the person of Christ. You've got the revelation of the cross of Christ. Now look with me in verse number 18. You've got the revelation of the church of Christ. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible. According to Ephesians 3 and 5, that was a mystery that was hidden in ages past. The Lord Jesus mentions it first. And you've got a lot of good teachings right in this little phrase, "I will build my church." That's the first mention of it. It's the Lord's church. There's only one church in the Bible, and it's the Lord's church. I was telling somebody the other day that I went into a Bible reading and a meeting one time, a strange place, and I just sat in the back seat, and they were reading on Ephesians 5 and verse 18, chapter 5, rather, about the church. Mentioning the oneness of the body, and that was good. Then after they came back to find out who I was, and I told them who I was, and said, "Which branch of the brethren do you belong to?" And I said, "Listen, the church I belong to doesn't have any branches. There's just one body, Ephesians 4 and 4. And that's so important that we hold on to the truth of the one body of Christ. There's only one head of that body, the Lord Jesus. That's why we shall hold fast to the simplicity of our gatherings together, of gathering to the head and expressing in a local sense, just giving some expression to the oneness of the body of Christ, where there are only believers in that body, and there's only one head, the Lord Jesus. The head of the woman is the man, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. That's the headship order. So here's the first revelation of the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is his body. So you have the revelation here of the Church of Christ. Now, those are important doctrines. The person of Christ, the cross work of Christ, and the Church of Christ, those are the doctrines that are being denied in many circles today. If you look, if you're on the internet, you'll do a little search for a man by the name of George Barna, B-A-R-N-A. He does surveys across America, of religious surveys, and he'll take them as they are. If he comes among a bunch of born-again Christians, he has one type. If he comes among a cult, he'll have another type of a survey. And it's amazing when you hear some of the reports that come from those surveys. Of theological students in seminaries, or as somebody said, in cemeteries, that do not believe in these particular doctrines of the person of Christ, or the crosswork of Christ. We're living in a day of apostasy, a day of religious corruption everywhere. That's why we ought to hold fast to what we have and stand fast to what we have. And especially stand fast to the person of Christ, the doctrines of the person of Christ, the doctrine of the cross of Christ, and the doctrine of the Church of Christ. There's about 1,400 different denominations in America, all denominated one against the other or opposite the other. And yet the only identity a believer has in this world is with a person, not with a church of any kind. They belong to a church, but the only identity we have is with a person. I knock on doors, and almost invariably, the first question people will ask me if they don't know who I am, what religion, what denomination do you belong to? It's the best question they could ask me, because it gives me an immediate chance to tell them I belong to a person. I'm a Christian. I belong to a person. And go on to give them the gospel. So it's important that we hold fast to the doctrines of the person of Christ, the doctrines of the cross work of Christ, and the doctrines of the Church of Christ. Now, the last one is in verse 27. The Son of Man shall come. The coming of Christ. The revelation of the coming of Christ. Now, this was something new. They knew the Lord was coming the first time, but they did not know He was coming back again. They did not know He was going to die. They did not know He was going to be buried and rise again and ascend up into heaven. He had not told them yet, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Here's a fresh revelation of the coming of Christ. He said, the Son of Man is coming in the glory of the Father with all of His holy angels. And every man that will receive a reward, every man according to his works. He even gave them a little preview. He said, well, there's some of you standing here that won't even die till they see the Son of Man coming. And the next chapter takes three disciples up under the mountain. He gives them a preview of His second coming, not the rapture. His second coming back to set up a kingdom on the earth. Moses is there, representing the law. Elijah is there, representing the prophets. And there's three men there in natural bodies. Those other two had died. They had come back. And there are three there in natural bodies that represent the people that will be in that kingdom in a natural body. So they had a preview and a revelation of the second coming of Christ. Now, to the Jew, that's their hope. To the nation of Israel, that's the hope. Our hope, of course, is the coming of Christ, but it's not this particular aspect of His coming. It's the rapture of Christ, the coming again of Christ. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day is at hand? The day of Christ that we read about in the Bible. And the day of Christ in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says that God will do, who He that hath begun that good work in you will perform it right up until the day of Christ. That's the day that Christ comes back. That's really the day of redemption. We are redeemed, but the day of redemption is future. The day of redemption is when the Lord comes back to finish the work of redemption and redeem this body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. That's the blessed hope, the lively hope, the quickening hope. That's a revelation here. So you've got four important doctrines here. The doctrine of the person of Christ. The doctrine of the cross of Christ. The doctrine of the Church of Christ. on the doctrine of the coming of Christ. Those are four doctrines that will stabilize us and keep us strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Keep us faithful to His word. As we pursue those four doctrines, it'll cover every aspect of our Christian testimony. Now, how are we going to do that? Very quickly, in verse number 24. You might mention, if you were here Wednesday night, I think, I mentioned that disciples are not born. Christians are born. They're not made. Christians are born, but disciples are not born. Disciples are made. They are made. After you're born again, they're made. And this is the making of a disciple in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Now when you see that little phrase, come after me, it has to do with a believer becoming a disciple, a follower. When you see the phrase, come unto me, that's a sinner that's to come to Christ for salvation. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the self-life. That's the self-will. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's the big me, the big I. Let him deny himself. That's not denying the self things. It's denying the self will, the self nature, because that's called the flesh in the Bible, and that the flesh is contrary to the things of the Spirit. So that if you're pursuing the things of the flesh or self, you can't pursue the things of the Spirit. If you take the word flesh and drop the last word off of it and spell it backwards, I think you've got self. S-E-L-F. That's the biggest enemy we have, each one of us, self. So let him deny himself. That's the rejection of the self-will, the self-life. And it says, for whosoever will, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, that subjection to the reproach that there is connected with your serving Christ and the cross work of Christ. And follow me, that's direction. The Lord says, I'll give you direction in your life. But first you've got to deny your self-will, the way you want to go. And you've got to be willing to endure the reproach that there is connected with my name. And that way I'm going to be able to give you direction in the way that you want me to go. Paul is a good example of that. You remember on the Damascus Road? Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He never had a clue what the Lord wanted him to do. But in that is that question is the thought of that man, Paul, whatever you want me to do, I am ready and willing to do it by thy grace. And he could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he said, I labor more abundantly than they all, but yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So this is the way we're going to pursue those things, in honoring the Christ that has been revealed to us, in honoring the cross work of Christ, where the reproach is still there, and the body of Christ, the church, and the coming of Christ. So may the Lord preserve us and keep us for that evil day, and help us to pursue after these doctrines that will keep us in a day of apostasy. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy people, for those who seek to go on in some measure in the ways of the Lord. And Thou knowest, Lord, how imperfect we are, and how we often fail. But we thank Thee that Thou dost understand. And we ever pray that Thou mightest give us the grace and the wisdom and the fortitude to stand fast in an evil day in which we live, to fight the good fight of faith, and to go on in the ways of the Lord, and honor Him in all of our goings. And Father, we thank Thee for our time together this morning, in remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and His death. for us. So we give thee thanks for him. We thank thee now for the refreshments that are about ready to be reserved. And we ask thy blessing upon the hands that have prepared them and upon our bodies and our fellowship together. And in the meeting to follow, we give thee thanks and ask thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.